Hello and goodbye. I'm leaving you.
Oh, well, never mind, Dave.
Right. So we're going to the pub tomorrow.
I'm with the podcast.
It's this season 3, episode 21 of the Tux Radar podcast. I'm Mike Saunders.
I'm Andrew Gregory.
I'm Jonathan Roberts.
I'm Efrain Hernandez.
And I'm Graham Morrison.
Brilliant. And in this episode, we'll be talking about Ubuntu going everywhere. We've got our discoveries of the Fortnite, our rants and rave section that everybody loves, Speak Your Brains, and much more. If you like this podcast, you will love our wonderful, shiny, glossy Linux magazine, Linux Format, which you can subscribe to at tinyurl.com/LXFoffer.
You know, there was silence because our hearts are broken, Mike.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
But I would like to say...
Yes.
...that there's now a position open at Linux Format magazine.
And what is that position?
Well, we could never replace you.
You could try. I am just a Perl script.
Is Mike really going then?
Yes, I am. I'm going to Austria or Australia or somewhere in between.
One wow. Of
those. Yeah.
Why?
The mountains are bigger there.
What have we done?
Fair play.
Well, you know, it builds up after 6 years.
It is very, very sad. The team will never be the same again.
You might get somebody far better than me.
Just we might get somebody better than all of us. That's the big worry, isn't it?
It is. Mike's been with us since issue zero.
Yeah.
Since Linux Answers.
And I'd be scared without him to blame when things go wrong.
You can blame the new boy who you get.
Yay!
I won't be the new boy anymore.
No.
No, you won't actually.
So
you'll be
you can blame the new boy. It's okay. Sounds good.
You'll be his superior, John.
I don't know how the podcast will survive. I mean, maybe we'll just give it up.
Let us know what you think, anyway.
Oh, yeah, and if you're interested in taking on some of Mike's duties, I'll post the link in the notes.
To what's the job? Digital media editor you're going to replace me with?
Well, I kind of invented that name, but it's kind of flexible, but it will be doing the disc.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Oh, can I be your Austrian correspondent, by the way?
Oh, you can do anything you want, Mike. Cool. The magazine's yours.
Thank you.
When are you going?
Well, actually, I should still be around for a few more podcasts because I'm finishing at the end of November, but I'm going to hang around for a bit because I love you all so much. So I'll
that
probably
is awesome.
Yeah, but you don't love us as much as you love.
And you are going to write lots of stuff. You are going to write lots of stuff for the magazine.
I am. I'm still going to be writing articles for the magazine. I love writing.
In fact, there'll be more of your words, I think, in the magazine, which is good.
There will, technically, yes. Yeah. I'll have an even bigger involvement in some ways, a more hands-on involvement.
Yeah, yeah. You just won't be able to make it to the podcast, although maybe we'll look at doing something, you know, maybe once in a while.
Well,
Mike, through Skype.
Flying us out to Vienna.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great idea.
Yeah,
that'd be good. I do intend to pop back to the United Kingdom now and again, so.
I want to see your mum and dad.
Yeah. Do a podcast with them.
Okay, well, I know it's a few weeks yet, but good luck, Mike.
This prepares you. This gives you time to build up.
It's not. I'm not prepared.
No.
Sad
just
face.
Sad, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I never meant it to be this way. We just grew apart.
I know.
It just...
All things
the
must...
The passion has gone.
Is there a coincidence that happened when I arrived? Did I...
Well, it's been quite a while since you arrived.
I guess so.
Yeah, that's when the idea started to form in my head.
Yeah.
There's obviously just not room for both of us on this team, John. There's just a clash of civilizations going on here. One of us had to go.
Good luck, Mike.
Thanks.
Nothing else is important, really.
Well, no. We can just...
Should we talk about European unification and the fate of the euro?
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Come on, John.
Just for anyone who wasn't at the pub with us before this, we all already established that I have strong views about this, as I do most things, so I won't punish you with that.
But whatever, even if you don't know John's views, feel free to flame him in the comments. Yeah, that's the way the internet works.
Assume my view is whatever the opposite of your view is.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
It involves brotherly love.
Not pink ponies.
No pink ponies.
Don't bring up pink ponies.
Hey, but
just make us sad.
The guy who wrote Pink Ponies lives in Vienna, so I might be able to go and see him.
Hey!
Have a pint with him. Or go pony trekking.
Interview.
That would be a meeting of minds.
Yeah.
I might have to come back to the UK after that. It might be more sane here. Anyway, should we get straight into the news?
I guess so.
Let's do it.
What the hell's Ubuntu doing now?
What's Shuttleworth up to again? Well,
it's the Ubuntu Developer Summit. Is it finished yet?
I don't know. It might be when we put this podcast.
Yeah.
But it's ongoing as of a few hours ago anyway. And Mark Shuttleworth has said that, to quote his blog, by Ubuntu 14.04, Ubuntu will power tablets, phones, TVs and smart screens from the car to the office kitchen, and it will connect these devices cleanly and seamlessly to the desktop, the server and the cloud. Unity, the desktop interface in today's Ubuntu 11.10, was designed with this specific vision in mind. So he wants Ubuntu everywhere. He wants it from big computers to tiny little dinky things.
When?
14.04.
So is someone like walked into his office and gone, guys, there's this great new thing called tablets.
it's a vision.
I have to sit down and think about that for 3 years.
Insanely late.
Yeah. I also find it ridiculous. You don't need the same operating system on your 8-core PC as you do on your fridge. They are different things. Some things are different.
Tell it how it is, Mike.
It's just, you know, if you...
So are you against closer European homogenisation?
I just think, you know, there have been several projects like this, Linux projects, to be a unifying OS across all sorts of devices. We had Moblin, we had Mimo, and then we had Migo, and they didn't really get anywhere. And the idea that you need the same OS on your development workstation as you do on your car sat-nav thing is just, you need different things for different stuff, and that's all I've got to say.
It wasn't so long ago that Mark Shuttleworth was saying we're going to have this amazing amount of growth in Ubuntu, was it? It
might have been 200 million desktops?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And I really like what Canonical are doing. You know, they're trying, they're doing things differently. But I don't understand this kind of hyperbole that comes out of statements like this. And with that statement, I think, you know, when you speak to them, and I spoke to someone from Canonical last week, that I'll put something on TuxRadar about it. But they claim to have millions of desktop users, and yet their biggest selling applications on the Software Center sell in the hundreds.
Really?
Yeah. So you kind of think, okay, this is great having all these grand ideas, but at least wait to see the growth. Wait to see what it is that how people are using Ubuntu, how they're going to want to use it before, you know, jumping. They just seem to be losing it a little bit.
Well, when you've lost focus as well, if you can say, let's make a really good desktop operating system, which seemed to be what they had around 9.x, really strong focus on that. And now they're talking about kitchens and things like that. So where's the focus, guys?
Yeah. So there's a really good article linked from Hacker News recently. I had to try and find it for the notes, where someone said Canonical should, or Ubuntu should, try and be the SIG to Apple SAG. Right. Something along those words. But the point was, Apple has absolutely nailed the consumer space. And, you know, there's no point in Ubuntu chasing after that. Apple already does it wonderfully, you know?
Well, maybe there is a market, though.
There might be a market, but this person's point was maybe Ubuntu should concentrate on serving developers well, being the best developer platform there is, being a great hobbyist OS.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? There's still a substantial market. 2% of the PC market is still tens, hundreds of millions of people, so...
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that as a goal, and in fact, it's probably where Linux could really thrive. Particularly when Linux is the basis for so many embedded devices and so many server systems, being the best developer systems administrator platform is a really important thing to do.
Yeah, being the best server platform, best hobbyist hacker platform developer, undoubtedly Linux is all those.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So you were in...
That's right, yeah.
You've been to the Qt Developers Conference Munich.
Yeah, I've actually just put, a couple of days ago, I put something on TuxRadar about it. So that actually covers most of the details in terms of Qt and what's happening to Qt.
Any big announcements?
Well, there weren't any. They made their big announcements in the week before. So they've got this new open governance thing where previously Qt being proprietary and open source, but all of the decisions on the toolkit were made in Trolltech or at Nokia, so they're all made by the developers and maybe by their customers.
Right.
So it wasn't like an open source project in that sense. It was democratic and open source within the team, but now the open governance idea is that anyone can get involved. So if you're interested in Qt and you've wanted to see something being part of it, you can directly lobby the developers, you can ask for something to be made, you can do it yourself, you can fix bugs.
How does Nokia explain Qt as part of its strategy now? Where does it fit in, given that their high end is all going to be Windows Mobile?
It doesn't Windows fit phone. In. I don't think it does fit in. And as I've said before, I think I don't think Qt is doing Nokia any harm. And as I've put on Tux Radar, they're very keen to show that Qt is an important strategic part of their future.
But what does it do in their future? If their future is candy bar phones on the low end and Windows 7 phones,
I don't think it'll do anything on them. I think it's a completely separate part of their business. Right? I think Qt still makes profit. I
mean,
selling
to developers and stuff. So it's just like a wing.
That is how it's run at the moment. That's how it appears to run. And so I talked to Lars Knoll, who he's actually in charge of the future Qt roadmap. I keep mixing Qt with Qt. But he's not a press man. He's not a Nokia man. And he talks openly about supporting Android and iOS. It may not be officially, but that's where he wants to see it. Or that's not where he said he wants to see it, but that's where he sees it going.
Is there going to be this conflict of interest, though, in
There would be
Nokia?
For Nokia if it was official,
I mean, if on the one hand they're saying, oh, we've got this great cross-platform toolkit, and on the other hand they're trying to push Windows
I really don't
7.
Know how they can... Because it's a massive... As I've put on TuxRadar, I think it's a massive business opportunity for them to become a cross-platform smartphone toolkit.
If that's part of their deal with Microsoft...
Well, yeah, but they can't. There's not even going to be a version of Qt for Windows Phone.
Right, that's what
so,
I mean. It's,
yeah, it's not, unless somebody else does it, they're not going to do it, which is insane. Because that would have, before the Nokia purchase, they would have made a Windows Phone version.
Mm.
And the whole Qt Quick thing is looking to be brilliant for smartphones. But the thing that I haven't written about was that I got my hands on a Nokia N9 phone.
The last MeeGo.
That's right, yeah. Now, I've slagged off MeeGo a lot over the last few years. I've tried it at various points over its development and never got it, never seen anything in it that redeems itself. But the N9, the final version of MeeGo, the N9 platform that will never see the light of day was absolutely awesome.
Oh, dear.
It was brilliant. It's a gorgeous bit of hardware, which is mostly being copied and upgraded for the new Windows phones. But the OS, the MIMO... MeeGo OS itself running the Qt stuff is absolutely brilliant, really, really fast, totally accelerated.
Does it look anything like the those KDE Plasma Active?
It does look a little bit like that. It looks better than that. But there's things like when you're watching a movie on it, you can pull down the screen and see your applications behind, and the movie still plays. And then swipe it completely off the screen and load another application. And the movie is paused and running in the background. You can run and loads of tasks. There's even like a task manager view where you can see all the frozen state of all the applications you're running. You can just click on one and run it. It basically is a super modern smartphone OS that felt right at home next to Android and iOS. I really think so. I think it's mad. And that's it. I think it's a shame it didn't appear 2 years ago. You know,
yeah, perhaps if it had appeared in that state on finished hardware, it might have had a future.
Yeah, rather than the half-baked, half-assed nonsense that we got.
Yeah, that we've all
It was always
tried.
Terrible. I tried...
It was always sold as like a development platform. Like, this is something that you can build on. This is something you can build on. This is the next version of the development platform that you can build on. They'll be, oh, no, don't worry about the apps. The apps will come.
And so... Yeah, I mean, I don't know the facts involved, but Rich Green, who was the CTO of Nokia, kind of resigned. He's moved on to a different company after this announcement. He obviously believed a lot in MeeGo. He must have been the guy pushing through this development at Nokia, and with the switch to Windows Phone by a CEO who did work for Microsoft. Obviously, there's obviously no future for it. So, I do think Nokia are committed to the future of Qt. Whether that means it stays at Nokia or not, I don't know. And it's time for Discovery of the Fortnight with me, Graham Morrison. I've actually got a discovery.
Hey.
Because I was watching television last night, something I'd recorded from a few weeks ago. And it's not a bad program. It's I've written it down. It's Brave New World, hosted by Stephen Hawking. He kind of says a few things, and then it segs into like these sequences where people talk about, the first episode, which is from a few weeks ago, you can see it on Channel 4 in the UK. It's on their catch-up service. It talks about things that are going to influence us in the future, specifically kind of inventions and technology. So the episode I watched last night, it starts off with Google's autonomous car, which was really, really awesome to actually see it in moving like this.
They're driving it on real roads now, aren't they?
Yeah, and in fact, if you watch it on 4 On Demand, the sequence that they showed was this coned off kind of course where the car did it at full terrifying pelt.
Really?
You know, with nobody actually touching it at all. And it really was fast. It looked much faster than like 99% of the population could drive.
Yeah.
And then they took it on a real road and it's absolutely brilliant.
Do you think, I never said something at the point of your discovery, sorry, but do you think it's going to get to a point where we're going to have a, what was that chess playing computer moment?
Oh yeah.
Big Blue, yeah. Deep Blue.
I think
we're going to have a moment like that where, I don't know, Sebastian Vettel will race Deep Blue.
Yeah,
the computer
cool.
will win.
No, but as they pointed out in the program, there are lots of big advantages. You fit more if cars are driven autonomously, you fit more cars on the road, they'll be far, far safer, better fuel efficiency, you know. Also, you don't have to waste your time driving. You know, you can do other stuff.
Yeah, but if it's Google, do they drive you like past lots of billboards? Slow down by the billboards.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that.
In your dashboard, surely.
Yeah,
I don't know about the Google car. I can only guess that it's running Linux, but I couldn't see any screenshots in it. But there were two other technologies where they were using Linux, and it wasn't talked about and it wasn't mentioned. One of them was a brain scanning device that was used to control a wheelchair.
Oh, cool.
Whoa.
There was this guy using Ubuntu, and he put on this skull cap, lots of kind of electrodes in it. And then while training the guy, they basically recorded his brain patterns, found really positive brain patterns for like moving his legs and moving his hands, and then trained him to think of moving his hands and moving his legs to program the left and right on the wheelchair. And I just thought it was awesome that they were using Linux.
Was he using Unity?
No, it actually looked like some kind of Motif stuff, but it was definitely Ubuntu. It was definitely some kind of Unix stuff. And then the directly following that, there was a robot called iCub, which had kind of some kind of neural network where it was learning behavior and learning about its own possibilities and potential as a physical kind of robot thing. And they were using Debian to program it. In their own, and you could see all this as they were doing it. They were kind of programming it in real time. And just while sitting there and watching them all do that, I just thought Linux is just brilliant. It's really the go-to OS if you want to get something done. You don't want to mess around with licenses. You don't want to try and find the software to do it. You don't want to, you know, ask someone if this is okay. You just install Linux.
You don't want to get your development environment set up with a compiler and a decent command line. And
in a lot of ways, it's just one like that. You know, they probably wouldn't consider anything else.
Yeah. And you look at all the big companies in the world, or, you know, the exciting companies in the world today that people talk about, Facebook, Amazon, Google.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, all of their success, they wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Linux being the way it is, being free.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't have been feasible.
Well, they could use FreeBSD.
They could use FreeBSD, it's true.
Or NetBSD.
It could have been the BSD version of Debian. But, yeah, so they were the only three actual consoles you saw in the whole hour-long program, and all three of them are probably
so cool.
Linux. And, yeah. That's
so
that
tomorrow's technological revolutions are coming off the back of yesterday's Linux revolution.
Yeah, yeah. That was my discovery.
I can't imagine robots cool. using pulse audio, though. that's quite scary.
I won't do the robot voice.
not more complaints.
No. Anyone else?
I discovered that I'm not as into burlesque as I thought I perhaps would have been.
What, after watching
girls take girls in their late teens and early 20s taking their clothes off last Friday night.
What, in your room?
luckily not in Bristol somewhere. I won't say exactly where in case some of them are listening and get offended, but they were.
Are there several burlesque places in Bristol?
I think so. I think it's that kind of place. Effie, you're
it's cool now,
Bristolian, aren't you? So
I've never been to any establishments of that kind. Oh, well. Did you know that that was happening that night?
Yeah, I did. I did. I knew it was happening. It was just, I was just indifferent, really. I had a very nice pint, though.
Was the beer good?
Yeah, the beer was good.
Was there a good fireplace or anything?
No.
No, it sucks.
No, but
did go to a very nice place with a fireplace on Saturday.
No, that's that was good. Like
just three really big logs, yeah. Ablaze.
Yeah. I guess those places are better when it's cold, aren't they?
Yeah, really good. Really, really good. So that's so much better than burlesque. The other thing is that in a different thing, I was somewhere else, cool, and a man came up to me and said, "Excuse me, I'm running a Mortal Kombat competition. Would you like to take part?"
I've always dreamt of that happening to me.
And in this back room, they had a huge projector with Mortal Kombat up on screen, and they were playing. Just getting random drunk punters in to play.
That's so cool.
And all I said to him was, "I'm sorry, I'm a Street Fighter 2 man." and he left me alone after that. No more explanation was necessary.
That's fantastic.
I thought it was great.
That is excellent.
Where was this?
I'll tell you off air.
Off air, okay.
Wow, it's all happening in Bristol.
Sounds an amazing city. You need to go more often. I came across, this is science related rather than Linux, I'm afraid, but I came across, apparently there's a place called Archive, ARXIV, run by a university in America. And it's basically a pre-publication place for physics, academic art, research papers. That probably made no sense. Basically,
before they've
been peer-reviewed and put into the published journal. Basically, every physics paper goes through this archive site, this archive place, and they're all published freely.
Yeah, and because they cost a fortune once they've been published.
Yeah, yeah. So you can go there and you can read them, and you can't guarantee that the stuff you're reading is actually any good. But even the good stuff does get put there, and that's actually where the neutrino, faster than light neutrino story was first put up, and that's where they put the paper saying, "We're not sure what's going on here."
Wow,
apparently,
wow.
There's been 80 more papers published since then on this topic. And some of them have put forward legitimate theoretical and practical reasons why this result might have showed up. So now the original team that came up with the result are going back and rerunning it, taking into account some of the complaints and suggestions, and observations that were made about their original report. I just think it's really cool that all this physics goes on in the open and you can go and check it out. And people are developing it in real time. It's really good.
Can anyone submit their own research papers, because we could do one
for the lulz.
I made a particle out of cheese.
Kittens.
You could try. I have no idea. I saw it on Boing Boing, in case anyone wants to see the full story, and I think the BBC's got a story up on it at the minute as well. So
for stupid people like me, what does it actually mean that neutrinos can go faster than the speed of light? What cool stuff could happen?
My understanding is that it basically wrecks are why everything that we know works. We don't know why anything works anymore, but it does work. So GPS satellites depend on relativity and things not being able to go faster than light. And so if neutrinos can go faster than light, we've no idea why GPS satellites work. They would work still, but we wouldn't know why.
The speed of light is supposed to be the single given constant.
Absolute.
So if something goes faster than that, something's broken somewhere.
Yeah, all the other constants are ratios relative to the speed of light.
Right. Sounds cool.
Once a paper is published, because there's another story in this, isn't there, in that there's only a few publishing companies that actually have a monopoly on how papers are published and how much they can charge for them.
Yeah.
Once papers published, do the initial drafts stay on that site?
Presumably, because it has I didn't look into it too much further, but apparently there's about 700,000 articles on there. So
wow, that's really good.
It is really cool, really wonderful. Thank you, whichever Californian university publishes that.
Awesome. This is a little bit like some school event, isn't it? Now, what did you do on your holidays, Effie?
Well, I discovered that there's just so many times you can play Connect Four when you go on holiday with three kids and the weather is rubbish outside.
So your house is all finished now.
And the first thing that
Not quite. I still got to put some handles on the doors and change some doors and just various.
Change a few doors. Here and there.
Mainly doors. No, but yeah, going on holidays too. anywhere where the weather is rubbish and you've got three kids, three small children with you, it's just, honestly.
If you buy an iPad off somebody, then that'll be full of games.
You see, I've been considering, right,
yeah,
doing that for quite a bit. So, yeah, if you know anyone that's selling an iPad
or
an Android tablet.
A what?
for that matter, just let us know.
Is it too late to put your kids up for adoption?
No. I also discovered, right, that through technology, I can make them obviously geniuses.
Disappear.
Mm. also, if given the chance, yeah. No, just that Rosie recently has been encouraged by the school to use a website called mathletics.co.uk, in which she has competitions, mathematical competitions with kids around the planet. And I thought it was actually a really cool thing.
That is a great idea.
But you have to log in, you have to have an account with it. It doesn't cost any money. So,
anyway. Well, is there a prize?
Yeah, lollipops.
No, don't say that.
He started it.
Anyway, thanks. Your kids don't need to be clever anymore, though, do they? Because thanks to recent law changes, they can all be king or queen.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely gonna apply for Rosie to be
king and queen.
Rosie Hernandez.
Is there an application? Can you get an application form off the internet?
I mean, what stops you from claiming that you are part of the monarchy and that you have a claim to the throne? Nothing. You can surely probably prove by DNA that you are some cousin of some royal.
Or just put a good audition up on YouTube. That's the way to do it.
There you go.
Well,
yeah, anyway, mathletics.co.uk is a good website for.
Do you not have any discoveries kids about places where you can eat burritos?
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah, I thought this wasn't the right time to mention it, but
well, sorry.
There's well, we mentioned this before about Mission Burrito,
and Mission Burrito.
And it is quite incredible. How partnerships can develop through the internet.
This is great. It's a free market at work.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. So anyway, that's something for 2 weeks' time.
So we're hoping to bring the next episode of this podcast
from one of the restaurants in Mission Burrito. Yeah,
that does great Mexican
food. Yeah, permission given, yeah.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's brilliant. I'm really looking forward to it.
Please stop going to Taco Bell as well if you're listening from the States. Don't use that.
There is a Taco Bell in the UK as well.
Is
that? Yeah, it's in some US military complex. So.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
So just American soldiers.
Taco Bell's all right, actually.
What?
If you're strapped for cash.
Yeah. Graham, think of our sponsors.
What's wrong with you?
Sorry, I'm so naive. You see, this is why I don't win.
What do you mean, sponsors? They're not sponsoring us. What are we talking about?
Not yet.
I'm just recommending a good restaurant, that's all. You're like, you recommended your burlesque thingy.
No, I wasn't recommending it. They were rubbish.
He was dissing them. This is why it's always a good idea to go to the pub before a podcast. Yeah.
This is a very surreal one.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. I have a discovery.
Yeah, athletic, sorry.
I thought you didn't have anything.
Well, yeah, but I just discovered something really quickly. Does anybody know where the word flack comes from? Like, you know, to give somebody flack. Give them a hard time.
It's a German word, isn't it?
Ah, did you know this then?
Well, it rings a bell, something to do with the Blitz and whatever it was that was exploding near the aeroplanes to bring them down, but I don't know what the word would be.
It is, yeah. Flugzeugabwehrkanone, aircraft defense cannon.
Right.
Yeah.
Flugzeugabwehrkanone.
Yeah, genau.
Why don't more people speak German? It's so sexy.
I know. I was speaking to a German woman in at QT Developers Conference, and she told me that there's no word for nipple. And in fact, the German word for nipple is Brustwart. Breastwart.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Again. Breastwart.
All right. Wow. I never actually know, despite knowing about 4,000 German words. I didn't know. It was obviously.
But when would you ever learn that there isn't a word for something? You can only learn words that are there.
That's true. Yes. That's very profound. So, yeah, there are three more opportunities for me to deliver information on German words before I leave.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
And with
that's
such
the weirdest thing.
With such nipple-loving fun, we come to the halfway point of this podcast. Still to come is rants and raves, speak your brains on the open ballot.
Right, and after that surreal issue of there of a fortnight, it's time for rants and raves. I love it, and Andrew's going to rant about unity.
Yes,
go for it.
It's angry already.
Unity. So, as discussed in the news, then Mark Shuttleworth wants us to have unity on our fridge and on our desktop computers and on our tablets. My desktop, my work machine won't even run Unity. How's my fridge going to run Unity? That doesn't make any sense at all. Why would I want my fridge to run Unity? Why would I want my fridge to have a toolbar that shows whether I've got like cheese and milk and bacon, but that doesn't show whether I've got cheese and milk and bacon until I move my finger over to show that food's there? Why should I have to know that food is there before I find out that food is there? Oh, people don't like Unity because they're too cool. No, it's because it's good, but it's just not good enough. And that's why I've abandoned Unity.
And have
switched to GNOME Shell because John said it was good, and I tried it ages ago and I thought it was rubbish, but now I realise I was wrong because or else it's got better. But anyway, Unity still isn't very good.
Brilliant.
That's good. That was easy. Yeah. Fantastic. I quite enjoyed your rant. Apparently it's my turn to rave about something. So
you are the boss of this section. You can do what you want.
Mike.
Okay. Rave about something.
You're going to rave about Mike?
No, I really want to...
Have great ears.
I really want... We are going to miss you, Mike. Oh. It's going to be sad without you.
Thanks, guys.
Maybe on the last episode that'll be for rave. Might be a bit strange.
It's the sweetest thing anyone's ever said. Maybe to me.
Just one day.
Just one day.
30 seconds, perhaps. Anyway, I really want to rave today because I'm going to start now. I really want to rave today because I've been posting my little coding projects on TuxRadar as I've been learning to code. And it's pretty dodgy stuff, you know. I'm just really setting out learning, doing as best I can, and putting it up there with the express purpose of being quite proud of my creations, but also, you know, wanting to get genuine feedback. And TuxRadar listeners, you guys have been awesome with the feedback you've given me. In the comments, you know, constructive criticism about presentation of the layouts and how I can make the games look better and be more usable in the interface. Really, really helpful. And also, Barry Van and a chap called Gary, who have emailed me and left such detailed comments going through almost function by function of my code, recommending performance improvements, style improvements. Really, really pleased with your help and really appreciate it. So thank you to all TuxRadar listeners who have commented and enjoyed my games and humble programming attempts. It's great. I'm now going back through and editing all my old code and taking your recommendations into consideration. Anyway, thank you.
Lovely.
Excellent. Nice work, John. Well, this is possibly the last ever Speak Your Brains because hardly anybody emails, and there's some people that do send me far too much or send me XML. So here we have Samuel.
Did you say that on purpose?
No, it's true. It keeps happening. Anyway,
awesome.
Anyway,
do you think people send you XML because you complain about it?
Yeah,
I'm going to start sending you XML.
I have just been trolled persistently for the last 11 years. But anyway, Samuel Oostman says, I have one major complaint with the Linux community and one with the developers. The complaint with the community is, why on earth do people feel the need to wage war over almost everything, no matter what you prefer in the ways of operating system, desktop manager, word processor, you name it, there are at least two people arguing about it. The complaint with the developers is, why on earth are there a million and one software programs that do exactly the same thing? I'm relatively new to Linux, a year on Linux Mint and now some months on Ubuntu and Nopix, and I have spent even less time learning basic programming, but even I realise that if the creators of these million and one programs would work together, we would have one really good Minesweeper or whatever clone instead of masses of almost identical programs. Anyway, to balance out my complaining, thank you all for a great podcast and magazine, and hopefully I will be able to enjoy it for a long time with my beer. Which is nice
excellent
of him
way to finish. Yeah.
No, I think he raises some points that a lot of people new to Linux see is a lot of the infighting that goes on, a lot of the duplication of effort, and you know, we kind of get used to these things in the community and realize that you've got to have some debates and there's got to be people reaching out in different directions. But as a new user, you probably do see a lot of this and think, well, why are you three guys making all LXD versions of Ubuntu? Why not just work together on one? So thanks, Mr. Erstmann. I presume he's from Deutschland or Österreich. But yeah, please, if anybody wants this section to survive, then please send me stuff in English that's not very long.
Or German, that would be fun.
Yeah, I could read out some German. But to mike.saunders@futurenet.com with the subject line, speak your brains.
Does that email address still work then?
For a bit, yeah. I was just going to set up a forwarder to you, but if you like.
It's time now for Open Ballots.
Hooray!
Hey, what's the worst that could happen?
So, is Android fragmentation a problem?
It's a bit like cereals.
It's like cereals.
It can only be a good thing.
Before we get any further into this, let's cut to the chase. Toby says, to make the Graham Morrison is afraid of breakfast cereal choices. Choice is good.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
If someone asks me why I prefer Android to iOS, I usually talk about choice.
It's a very good point when it comes to Android because, you know, Apple has a monopoly, you know, and so being the alternative, it is about choice and things like the Android market, I'm really grateful exists.
But at the same time, I wish the Android market could be a lot better.
Yeah, yeah.
If there weren't some applications that don't run on my phone.
It's amazing how popular it is. I mean, the whole Android platform is working.
Oh, it's,
what we'd say, you know, if it was a Linux distribution, I'd say, oh, it's terrible. How can you possibly make it work? And yet it's working.
They forced, Google fragmented it themselves when they did, what was it? Was it Honeycomb and Gingerbread? When the 2-point whatever series stayed on the phone, and 3-point whatever went, it was only for tablets.
Yeah.
That immediately fragmented and caused a little bit of confusion.
I think that's why the Android tablet market hasn't taken off yet. Because I don't think there's been any developer impetus to develop for something when they know it's going to be unified in one, you know, next release. You know, things are changing quite a lot, so.
There's also price. Android phones are quite, well, some Android phones are quite a lot cheaper than iPhones, but whatever Android tablets I've seen have just been a bit cheaper.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, what do our readers/listeners think? It's a mixture of yes and no, to be honest, but the one meme that keeps popping up is Cyanogen Mod. Mm. Eric the Penguin says Android fragmentation is a problem, but I don't think it's a big one. My friends are still using Android 2.1 happily without any problems at all, though if you wanted to upgrade, you can always Google. Cyanogen Mod is a great example of what you can do if you are left behind. Nick says, I don't think it's a big deal because you can always get Cyanogen Mod.
But Cyanogen Mod is a hack, isn't it?
It's a very good hack.
Yes, but that's what I mean. You can't say Apple is all about choice because you can jailbreak your phone.
Well, I mean, Cyanogen Mod is an entire distribution, really.
Yeah.
And it's always the latest open source code from Google. So, and they make it run on platforms that don't necessarily get the official upgrades. So. It's a good argument, but at the same time, my HTC Wildfire S doesn't have, it's been chipped, so I can't hack it, I can't root it, unless I get a chip to unlock it. Or root it, whatever. So I can't get Cyanogen Mod on mine, so it doesn't apply to everything.
Well, that's what Hugh says. Hugh says, yes, Android fragmentation is a problem, and says, it's true that we can use ROMs like Cyanogen Mod, but obviously that invalidates warranties, and wimps like me are too scared of bricking our phones.
Doesn't Hugh normally start his responses with yes and no?
That must be an imposter, then.
He feels very definite about this.
Yeah, he must.
That must be the answer, then.
That's the answer. Awesome.
Thanks.
We should ask you what he thinks about reinstating the drachma.
Yes,
once and for all. Hyauj says, any chance of running an article in the magazine on hacking your phone to put Cyanogen mod on it?
What a great idea.
What a brilliant idea. That's what we like. People thinking of ideas for us.
I was really hoping to do that when I got my phone, and I was really excited to install Cyanogen mod, and then I found out I'd have to get it a chip to unlock it. I was really gutted.
There must be a way around it.
A chip to unlock it.
So okay. What, you buy a chip and then put the chip in?
I'm not sure how it works. A clip or something, I don't know.
Okay, Spangwidges says, no, I think this is a total non-issue. Anyone technical enough to care, okay, that's a big anyone, is technical enough to update the OS themselves using hacked ROMs or whatever. Bananumerang says, kind of. Fragmentation is a problem, but think of the cereal. We all love that delicious cereal. Dave S says, no, I bought what I bought and I'm happy with it. When I want something more up to date, I will change. The whole mobile market is based on constantly selling you something you already have. Updating existing devices is just not part of the culture.
It's just consumerism, isn't it?
Well, hang on, I bought what I bought and I'm happy with it. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Fair enough, there may well be a shinier version of whatever operating system you're running, but... It doesn't really matter that much, I suppose.
A security update's an issue.
Security updates. Someone has made that very same point. Ray Woods, in fact, says that there are two elements here. One, are security breaches being patched? And two, are functionality upgrades being implemented? The first is critical, and the second is only important if you want the latest gizmos.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
It is a good point,
exactly,
Ray Woods.
That's it, isn't it, really? Again.
What do you think, John?
I'm a bit of a gadget lover, so I am disappointed that I can't upgrade, and even more disappointed that I can't hack it and root it to put on whatever I want. I think if that was an option, if it wasn't locked and you could, that, you know, the technical people who care about this could upgrade and be happy, and the non-technical people wouldn't have to bother thinking about it. So for me and technical geeky people, it is a bit of an issue, but for 90% of the population, nobody cares.
It's funny, because if we were talking about Linux, I'd say this is a very real problem and it's holding us back. And yet it's not holding Android back. So I'm wrong.
No, don't.
That's
say
it.
That.
It's obviously not holding Android back. It would drive me mad. The fact that you can't, there's no form factor, there's no standard resolution, although there will be, there's no kind of default buttons or orientation, you know, as well as everything else, as well as all the hot platform stuff.
I mean, an interesting comparison would be with Windows Phone. I'm not up to speed on how the whole upgrade to 7.5 has gone, but I know they've tried to deal with that problem in Windows Phone 7 by putting strict requirements on screen resolutions, minimum processor speeds, button layouts. There's very little you can customize a Windows Phone. And it was meant to make it easier to get the upgrades out. But as I understand it, the carriers have still made it a real nightmare to get upgrades out to people. So how much is down to Android and what's down to carriers and suppliers?
And that's why Apple had to make such cutthroat decisions when it came to suppliers and networks. They had to say, look, you're going to have to do visual voicemail and you're going to have to let us upgrade the phones.
Yeah, I think by doing it through iTunes rather than over the air, they probably got a lot of extra control there. So that's an interesting comparison.
The I Like Ice Cream, not verified, says...
it's not verified whether we liked ice cream.
It's not verified. My next phone will be Google's Nexus model, most likely the Galaxy Nexus, because it won't be hindered by manufacturers' bloatware and UE toppings. Ice Cream Sandwich, that's Android 4.0, should change lots of annoyances with the Android platform. First up, it should fix the fragmentation a bit by giving developers a more dynamic API. Most UE stuff should be able to scale between the large tablets and the smallest mobile phones. Ice Cream Sandwich also requires that all handsets will receive firmware updates at least 18 months after release, so the phones will not get outdated as fast. And finally, one of the coolest features covered in Google I.O. was the integration API for Arduino. I guess we'll have Android operatable robots, toasters, and garage doors next year. And he doesn't mention it, but I assume he also means fridges in that too.
Okay, so in preparation for the rubbishness that this podcast will be without Mike, there's no one more thing. I will say, that I'll put the link up to the replacement of Mike job application form on the podcast notes after I finished editing it. And
could you change the job title to be Mike Replacement?
Yeah, Mike Replacement. Yeah,
why not? That'd be cool. Thanks.
Pseudo Mike Replacement, even, you know.
Well, not 5%. A sue, but pseudo. He immediately has admin rights.
Yeah.
Cool.
So have a look for that if you're interested in being here in Mike's place. And I guess we'll see you all in a couple of weeks.
Bye, folks.
Bye. It's such a nice day.